forever. Dog.
The goody goody.
Sabrina Jellies. The goody goody. You're listening to the goody goody. Do you want to be a shark?
Yeah.
Bitch.
No, I feel like I want to be on Shark Tank once, but I don't want them to film it. You know, like I don't
know,
but
I'm talking about being
it.
Next to Mark Cuban being like, shut up, Mark. Look, here's why I need to come to meet toots.
I feel like I'd
number
believe
one,
everyone.
I know women.
You're like, Lori, you in with me?
Shut up, Lori. Shut up, Mark. Look, Dyke, I know your shit.
Barbara is just like,
Barbara's
hell.
Like, leave me out of this, honey. Yeah. I'm too old for this shit. Barbara takes off her mic and walks off. Literally walks off the backdrop of the set. Who would you be if you could be one of the sharks?
Lori. I mean, I'm like attracted to Lori.
Yeah, of course. I'm attracted to every rich woman who opens her goddamn mouth and says anything to me. I mean, rich. Okay, here's the thing about rich women that I love. Smelling good. Usually,
yes, so good.
Someone's job is to make them exercise, so they are fit. What else? I mean, this is also a generalization. So I'm talking about like this boutique style of rich woman. I'm like a cool fit. Fun, hot. They're always like they've got the best product. So their skin, it's like, whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is like, I don't ever see, even if I had all the money in the world, I don't think I could smell as good as a rich woman. Because I know the smell you're talking about. It's like
it comes out of
scent.
Your pores. Yeah. Like glue in your butthole.
Yeah. See, glue is
like
the
that
first
natural
step.
Glue that bonds your butt cheeks together.
It's the first step.
I just
smelling
wish, like, you know,
a rich woman.
If I was rich, maybe I would hire private investigators to like actually find out the small mysteries in life of like, you know, how did my phone end up there? Why is my butt glued together?
They could live here.
You're swaying. Your baby's sleeping. She's sleeping good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good.
I'm just, you know, it's so funny because we were at like, I mean, we were at Hot Tub. We did the show on Monday. And
we were at Hot Tub together, a show on Mondays at the Virgil. It's where A Star Is Born was shot.
Yeah.
Come see the comedy of the world.
So nice.
Hashtag bad slava.
And the only people in the bar, because I was like, does anyone have kids? And I've never had to say that, like ever. First time ever saying it.
Yeah.
And it was silent. It was just Kurt. And then it would be you backstage. And I'm like, this is the first time I've been like crossed over into this new like.
Yeah, it's like.
Now I'm this also. I'm also this. Uh-huh. Like I have these jokes about a baby that you don't understand. And like.
Yeah.
And make people feel
queerness.
Uncomfortable. Yeah.
Well, let's make them feel excited unless you don't feel excited. I feel
I wanted this. Like, I love it.
But I get what you're saying. It's like when I will do like a younger crowd now, it's like that question is met with very much like, no, you crazy lunatic. Right. We're all on coke right now.
Coke is bad.
And we're obsessed with ourselves. But yeah, the otherness, it's interesting. I mean, I definitely had this like, I mean, one of the huge hurdles for me coming out on stage was this idea of like, I'm already brown queer and now I'm going to be gay queer. And that doesn't even match with the brown queer. So it's like, it just seemed like so crazy and so much. But also just like the conversation about like, is your baby going to know the donor? It's like, of course. Why would I?
Right.
You know, as much as that makes sense and is natural, like, of course, is my baby going to know the most beautiful, magical story of how we literally started from the bottom and now we're here in terms of having a baby?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Right.
You know, it's almost like the societal perception. I mean, I know we're on a completely different topic now, but like the societal perception of like, well, so you're okay with them knowing the biological father. It's like, the story of queer babies are always so intentional and therefore so beautiful.
Right.
Because the heart is always like, we really, really wanted you. In a way that like, it's almost like the flip is like, in straight, like conventional ways of having babies, those are usually the stories that it's like, oh, well, I really didn't want to, I didn't want to date your dad, let alone raise a fucking baby. But
oh my God, yeah.
Here I am pregnant and it's wartime, so options are low. Gary, dump me. You know, it's like,
truly. And I'm always like, my, like, you know, my dad has not been in my life for so long. And I'm like, that's like a, you know, that was like a straight marriage, have five kids. And like, you know, you can also choose not to be a dad.
What was the story, the plot lines of that, if you're comfortable?
Oh, yeah.
Podcasting
about it? No, he's, I mean, like.
Your dad, when did you.
He's a, like, he was always, my mom married someone who she shouldn't have. He's just like a red flag, right?
Okay.
And so he's weirdly been so consistent in my life, like consistently inconsistent.
Wow.
So I think that's why I'm not like
always and forever disappointed
or whatever. Right. Or like you just knew.
Wait, what's the timeline of it? Like they're married, they have you.
They're married, they have five kids, like in and out of it.
He's, are you close with any of your siblings?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Like, yeah, okay. All of them.
Yeah.
And so like, you know, he would leave for years at a time. And during
what?
That 12, good question. I have no idea. He's literally so lazy. But he would leave. He'd be like, he'd end up in Arkansas somehow and like working on a farm. I think he was just running away.
Okay, cool.
So then he'd go to prison for stealing TVs. Oh. It's in my act, but it's so real.
I mean, now I like him.
Right. I
like that. I was the most likable thing you've said about him.
Also, like back in the 80s, you're like, TVs were so heavy. Like,
they were
now
so heavy. I mean, just the idea of anyone stealing a TV now is just like, all right, crazy, if yeah. you must.
It's almost like someone stealing an iPhone. You're like, you know that I can find that with an app.
Yes.
Like, why are you stealing that? Yeah. And then we moved to Chicago when I was 12. Uh-huh. So like, I haven't had a relationship
in, so in
with
and
him.
Out, like, years go by, he's gone, and then he comes right. back. Did you ever
He'd
see your parents
in and out.
Be, like, romantic with each other?
Was One it, time was it they a kiss. I okay. saw them kiss once in the laundry room, and I, like, it shocked me. It was so shocking. I'll never forget it. But
you're
my
like,
mom,
I have a secret.
Yeah.
Isn't it funny? Like, weird shit like that. That, like, even just, like, then, like, normal shit was, like, I'm burdened with the secret of seeing my parents kiss.
Well, like, if they kissed all the time, it'd be no big deal. But yeah. it was just the only time I ever saw them kiss. And my mom thought my dad was hot. That's like why they met. My mom was like working at IHOP. He was on work release.
Oh my God.
Next door.
Was he hot? I guess he was.
You know what? He always had like a pretty good body. He always worked out.
Yeah.
He did F45. In Southern Illinois.
He loved the screens, and then that was
loved
where the TV
it.
Stealing
yeah,
came in.
Yeah, he's
he
trying
was
to get
like,
the model.
I need screens
right.
everywhere.
Right.
He did F45.
He did F45. God, he's an innovator, like totally such a bad deadbeat dad, but such an innovator.
So bad deadbeat, like not paying for you guys, having five of you guys dipping in and out, but then coming in with like a six pack and your mom's like, oh,
yes.
Gary.
Yeah, she's like, you got like... And he did have, he
a
had like
pack.
A nice, he had a nice body. Like I remember him working out all the time. And I was like, if he kept up with it, he'd just be like, you know, the hot dad or whatever. But he kind of looks like he is like a walking mugshot too. He's not like, his
okay,
face
so
isn't
he's
great
like the,
looking.
The like deceit has worn on him.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I love dragging your dad.
Oh, I love it so
I
much.
I mean, he's not going to be listening this far into the goody goody.
He lives like in his
he's
in
gonna
his
be
wife's
like, oh,
backyard.
She's got a baby. Got to go to Arkansas.
Yeah,
something about a farm.
Yeah. He's like, do I owe for that?
What does he do?
What does he do? He lives in the backyard of his wife's house. He like lives in a trailer behind her house.
Okay. Well, look, we also have sympathy for this character too. I was gonna like cackle, but it's like let's rein it in. A trailer.
I'm just
I mean,
like that's
not,
like
he was
that's
not
sleep
a protagonist
divorce, for sure. That sleep divorce, but I was. Oh yeah, I did a show in New York, and I
wait. Is he gonna be? Ever see the baby, do you think?
No, I haven't seen him since I was 17. Like, there's
oh, okay.
no way.
17
yeah.
is like, okay, you cannot keep coming in
right.
and out. Bye.
But it'd be great if I mean, I should show up and I should just be like,
it's happening again.
Hi, Daddy. Yeah. I did
Daddy,
a show.
Will you take care of me?
It's still there, the need
You're
for my
daddy. You're my first option.
Oh my God. We, okay, so I did the show in New York and I had this wild idea that I was going to do a fake makeup tutorial. And I was going to try to look like my dad, who I haven't seen in like
oh my God,
forever.
That's like really.
So I took this photo of him and it was just like, and he is just like.
This is just a regular
show
and you're like, I'm coming in. Interesting.
Yeah. This is like, no, it was like,
do something.
So it's like,
oh, okay.
But I classically, see, I classically should just go do an hour of stand up because that's what I know what to do. But I always like bring in these elements that I've never practiced on stage before.
Well, it's again like the perception of what it is to do a one woman show instead of being like, I also just want to say one man show. I hate like gendered performance things, like actress.
No matter what, they're probably sad. Like, yeah, the show.
Yes, yes.
And just like this one. And people were really feeling for him because I was truly dragging him and they were feeling a lot of, like, they were like, oh, and I was just like, didn't I tell you that he was like not a good dude? And then I was like, I can't ever do this again.
Well, it just opened up.
It was a 5-minute makeup tutorial video that I showed the audience.
And it was live in front of the audience?
Yeah. It was live.
While you made yourself up into him. Whoa. Yeah. And what were you feeling when you were doing it? You were like, the comedy is like,
I'm like, this is so funny. Like, he's already like, he's the bad character. So it's like, you're going to laugh. And no, people felt bad. And I realized it's like that line of like, what is sad and what is funny. You know?
I had that kind of line to fall on the wrong side of when my Muslim family, like after I came out, they broke up with me and it was really sad. And it's like tragedy plus time equals comedy, but like not always the time, like things kind of, I think like when there's like a positive resolve on the other side of it. And the audience gets that feeling that it's like, you know, that all is good, but like in the moment where it's like, and we're broken up and we don't talk and all of that, it's like a lot of, it's so much pain is brought up that like, no matter how funny you are, it's hard to climb out of that energy.
No matter how much like you're like, I'm out of this, like I'm not, I don't feel pain from this or whatever, I moved on.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like they maybe realize themselves, they like put themselves in that situation or something. And they
do
go,
do you feel like in having the baby, do you feel like any sort of difference in terms of your attitude of understanding your dad? Because it seems like there, to me, part of, there's like empathy for me for my parents' flaws, because I'm like, oh, nothing has changed. I didn't graduate from anything to be a parent. I am me and I am a parent, and there's going to be things that I do. I started doing therapy after Wolfie was born for the first time, because I started realizing like, oh, there's things like intrinsic in me that are not perfect.
Uh-huh.
And that's, I can work
that's
on
that's weird.
But like, but that, you know, that there's like these things that are, and last week on the podcast, I was talking to Jeffrey Self, my friend, about going home for the holidays and like seeing these like faulty parts in you that you see in your parents and like the exacerbated versions of it.
Oh, fun.
And like, you know, like you're hating your judgment and control, but then seeing your parents be judgmental or controlling.
Yeah.
But anyways, in being a parent, do you feel, is there any sort of change or shift in the way that you view your father's
failed
parenting?
Like, and I think this is like how I've come out of it in one piece, is like I always felt like my dad was consistent, and he's like, he had like a hard childhood, you know?
He was consistently in your life.
He was consistently out of my life.
Out of your
life. And so it was not as much, I think it would have been a lot harder if I had a parent in my life who was a good parent and then all of a sudden left, you know, then it's going to like rock my world.
Okay.
But because it was always happening, it was like my
That's
life.
The pattern
that was just
of
how my
person.
Life was. And I always had empathy. I was always like, oh, it's, you know, he was Jehovah's Witnesses family and he was really good at sports. And I was always like, that sucks. You can never be on the team because
that
you wanted to be on the
thing?
Team. Yeah. You can't be like part of anything that's not.
Oh my
Jesus
God.
Stuff.
Oh my God. What a, that's like, that's a major queerness.
Right. Yeah.
Wow. I mean, I can't believe like, it's so hard to picture just these. And then at the same time you get older and you're like, oh yeah, we all just want to like be a part of something. And so like the more susceptible you are to get to feel, you know, a part of something or to need a part of something.
Right.
And you know,
and if he was like, a part of the baseball team, like, Maybe he'd be a different guy. And then you have to say, like, you know, he was young, but at the same time, you're like, well, you did do some bad stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you were abusive. And
that's,
you know, you
cancel.
He drove us to a domestic violence shelter. So, like, that stuff is bad.
No, what?
Right. But, like, but I still have empathy because I feel like
Wow. Wait, he drove you guys to a domestic?
Well, I mean, he didn't drive. We drove ourselves.
Because he's not supposed to know the address.
No, we drove ourselves.
Okay. Okay, good. No, I was like, what the
Here
fuck
it is.
Kind of mentality
Here it is, Daddy.
Is that of like yeah. irrational abuse and then being like, all right, everyone, pack your bags. You know where you're going.
That's
I am
amazing.
No good for you.
Yeah. But I do know the address. I'll be picking you up.
But I will come back when I'm in a bad mood. Oh, my God. So much darkness there.
Right. But
such a good outlook to be like, yeah, that was he was as advertised, dark,
right? Exactly. Yeah. And so you can have empathy for that person, and then at the same time I'm like, I'm not gonna put like so much of my brain power into you. I'm living my life, like,
yes, good,
yeah,
balance.
There's no, I let it go so early in my life.
I think there's a stigma around therapy. My friend was actually just saying that their mom said something about like, I don't think therapy is positive because like I just don't like people just whining. And it's like the idea of like processing being whining. I was surprised, and I've said this before, but like if anyone's listening and thinking about going to therapy, I was pleasantly surprised about how my therapist at least is very much focused on like what are the things that are working and understanding for sure why things don't work when they're not working, or like,
right,
you're kind of running into the same wall. It's like, okay, where did that start, is definitely like looking back, but it's not about like unpacking all of the terrible things,
yes,
that happened and crying about it.
Right
It's more about
that,
like,
seems
really leaning into the things that work for you.
Right. Or like if you have something you want to change, like you said, if you saw like patterns that you didn't, you know, if you're see your parents being controlling or whatever it is, if you're like, oh, I kind of want to kick that, you know?
Yeah.
Finding a way to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you do therapy?
I, as a kid in that shelter, we actually were forced to.
Okay. So your relationship with therapy, you have one of those where it's like when you were a kid, you were forced to. So you're like,
well, I was a kid. And then they put me in the little group, and my older sister is like a year older.
Mm-hmm.
Got to go in like the teen group.
Yeah.
And so I was like pissed because I was like, I'm old enough to be in the teen group.
I
want to
know their secrets.
Yeah.
Was it
and
group
then
therapy?
They put me, yes.
Incredible.
So then they put me in it, and the girls were like, you know, they were like 13-year-old grown women. They were,
wow,
like, yeah, I was having sex with this guy. I've never kissed anyone. And I'm like,
oh my
this
God.
Is amazing.
I mean, this is like the best sleepover.
Yeah. This is so great.
this is domestic violence group is amazing.
No one knows, but the shelter is lit.
I once did a charity that benefited a domestic violence shelter, and the PR people thought it would be a good idea to I like put on this show, and then there was like PR people for the club that I was doing it at that were like, we got you a Entertainment Tonight Canada spot, and we're gonna shoot it at the shelter. And I'm like, wait, I'm promoting a comedy show. And then they were like pimping me to say like, interesting choice of words, but pimping
right.
me to say like funny things at this shelter while there's women like walking around in the background being like, I don't want to be taped. Like, I'm bruised. Like, it was such a bad.
Right. They're
and
like,
then after the PR people were like, you know, we wanted to talk to you about some media training. Like, you didn't seem very comfortable on camera. And I'm like, it was the most
uncomfortable
scenario.
It's so, that is.
But
so
you
funny.
Lived in the shelters in and
right.
In and out, or for one, you're talking
it was,
about one stretch?
It was almost 2 years.
Wow.
Yeah, it was just one stretch. And I mean, peak like
Dude,
12
you
year old.
Dude, you movie about that.
I
That's
mean,
like
I'm
such
trying,
a...
I'm like finally, like when I was pregnant with her, I'm finally opening up and like realizing like all this
is so
material
interesting.
Is interesting. I mean, it's funny to look back on. It's funny to like
Well, it's the same type
take
of part of you that would be like, newspapers at my
right
big house that is like that
mansion
is like
with my daddy I love
with my daddy in the mansion he's brushing my hair I think is what they do but yeah, like everything that that's like so fucking interesting and wild, and also the perspective of being this like not, you know, like sexually not really knowing where you're at,
right,
and
being
never been kissed 13-year-old sitting
yeah.
next to like yeah, so I might be pregnant with him or
right.
him, I don't know.
And the idea of like, you know, I was the new kid and you know right outside of Chicago, so it was like this idea of like I'm the new kid, also I'm living in this weird place, and mm-hmm. you're not allowed to have boys, and there can be like no new men or males in this
no
building.
No new friends, I think is the song.
No, there can there be can no be. New friends.
No new friends. You no do, new men while you're in
you are the, starting from the bottom as yeah, well.
So you are starting from the true yes. bottom. It's all Drake lyrics that rehabilitate these broken families.
He wrote the, look,
it's
thank
God's
you so
plan,
much.
Okay?
Oh my God, that would work. Yeah, but so having boys, like, so being interested in boys when I'm like 13, like having them over to try to get a kiss was like a huge thing. I'd have to wait for my mom to be working like at the restaurant, and then I have to sneak a boy in to what? Get my kiss.
So, but you were, was that like a bit, so you had like, you were like doing, boy, yeah. I'm like, so boys want to kiss you and you
wait,
having boys.
You wanted,
so you,
you wanted
over,
the kiss?
Guys, lesbian, not my same experience. I don't get it.
Yeah.
I think we've talked enough.
Yeah. Goodbye.
Okay, so you're like the more, window. You're more like maybe Shauna, where Shauna is on the spectrum of like, you could have ended up with a guy in
I
some world.
I don't think so. I don't. What happened was I was
Shauna either because she's destined for me, baby. But like, you know, she's dated more men than women.
Right. I've dated more women, but I definitely started off being like, this is, I mean, I had no experience with, I didn't know any gay people. So I just was, okay, this is what you do. I'm going to kiss a boy. And I still had the adrenaline of like, oh my God, I'm about to have my first kiss.
Look, I mean, I just kissed one of the actors in the show as a blooper fun thing that we planned. It was like the scene was just seemed like we were horny for each other. So we were like, let's do a take in front of the audience where we kiss. And it's Jean-Luc Bilodeau, hot actor, sexy bod, sexy face. And honestly, like, like that was fun.
Yeah.
It was fun. And there was adrenaline. And like after we were like looking at each other, like, my wife shan't know. But it's like a fun, cute, like, what I'm saying is like, I am gay. I am more gay than straight, but doesn't mean that like the part of me that was like wanted to kiss Scott Wolf would be disgusted to kiss Scott Wolf.
Right,
it's just like
right.
by the time he takes his dick out, I'm like, and so where's Jennifer Love Hewitt at?
Right, right.
Yeah.
No, there was like, I had like a boyfriend all throughout high school. I had a boyfriend in college.
Whoa.
And then I was like, hold on. Like, I don't like, I just thought I could live without sex. I was like, oh, I just don't like sex or like intimacy. Like, I'm just one of those people. And then I realized like, oh, I just don't like guys.
Yes. If you're listening, there is, I feel like there's still, it's wild because we're in a place where we understand that gay is an option, but it's still, I think, for most people, it is like a strange option. Obviously, it's like not what's what you see projected in society mostly. So it's like the weird path. But if you are someone listening and you haven't been on a good date or felt chemistry with someone of the same sex or the opposite sex for like years or just whatever feels like a long time, just try dating the same sex.
Yeah.
You don't have to like race towards it. You don't have to like it. You don't have to just don't have judgment towards it, but try it because sometimes I think people really like, you know, are quick to say like, well, I'm just like, I'm not into it. And it's like such a robbery of the option to be into it.
It really,
and
I can't
know that
imagine.
Being asexual is a thing, but I also think like always try the different options before you deem yourself unattracted.
Because that's how I kind of felt like, oh,
most
I just don't need
sorry
that.
I took so much time. I just, most of the people that listen to this podcast have never been kissed.
Oh, interesting. The goody goody. I get
it. I advertise at neverbeenkissed.com.
Oh my God, that's great.
Yeah,
wow.
I like that website.
Never been kissed. What an interesting target market.
I didn't mean to target them. They didn't mean to target me, but here we are just really blue balling each other on a week to week basis.
I agree with that. I mean, I agree with
blue
just,
balls.
Just trying it out. And blue balls, of course.
Trying it out. Try it all out.
I'm glad I did. You know, Cleo, you wouldn't be around.
You know, Cleo,
if I
you
didn't
wouldn't be
try a lady.
If I didn't try a lady. is Sam so excited?
Yeah, Sam's a great mom. She's
yeah.
Yeah.
Sam's like, also a comedy writer, but you guys do different things, so it's never really competitive between you guys.
Exactly. There were like a couple auditions at the beginning.
Why would you
beginning?
Be on a podcast being like, my marriage is
right. No.
Wearing your baby, just dragging your wife, being like, she's jealous of everything I do.
She wants every audition that I get. We had a couple of the similar auditions because, you know, as like a gay person in Hollywood, it's like every there's a lesbian part,
the circus
every
is coming
lesbian
to town.
Yes, exactly. And
everyone,
you just see
jumps
everybody
on their skateboard and migrates from the east side to the studio city.
Yeah.
Everyone's trimming
like,
up
I
their
recognize
fade.
You yeah, and you know everybody, and then you look at the sheet you sign in on and you're just like, yeah, I know
yes,
them, know them,
yes,
made out with
yes,
them, know them, know
yes,
them, know them.
Yes.
Yeah. We had a couple of those auditions and she's like, I mean, it was like one of her last auditions. She's like, I can't
keep
act
seeing
anymore.
You in waiting
I can't
rooms.
Do this.
Deciding not to go to auditions is pretty empowering thing.
Right.
I mean, I obviously never will say no to the chance at attention, but.
Oh, I say no,
but saying no
so
to thing,
much.
I do. No. I do want to change. I do want to change my personality from desperate to empowered. And I do say no for sure. Yeah, I don't want to learn lines for something that I clearly am not going to book. That's something that has shifted for me. What I would tell my younger comic self is like, you don't need to try to be the thing that they're casting. You just be you and create opportunity. You create casting.
Right.
Like, or move in that direction. It's not like you be Michael Bay.
Right.
I don't even know what to picture when I say Michael Bay, by the way.
I would not.
Just a man named Michael sitting by the bay.
I could not. I mean, if they show me a self tape, I remember like one of my first auditions coming out here for like Julie Ashton. It was for Parks and Rec or something.
Yeah.
And no, it wasn't for.
Wait,
it was
what
for
did you
something
say,
else.
Julie Ashton?
Yeah.
What's that?
The casting director.
Oh, okay.
So she was like, I finished the entire thing. It was like 5 pages of sides. And then afterwards she just goes, what are you looking at? And I was like, what do you mean? She's like, because she was reading and I was just looking into a corner because I didn't know how to audition.
Where
so just
your
look eyeline? Up, you know, yeah. Like you can just look in a stand-up show. You're just looking into the crowd. You can't even see them.
Yeah, there's so many things to think about once right. you start acting that you don't.
And I was like, oh, I'm really bad.
What
at
are
this.
My hands doing? What are my eyes doing?
Right. The I trick, continue to
the
be
trick
bad.
Where the here's an eyeline trick. Mm-hmm. I mean, you probably know it now.
No,
but like
no, I just
choosing different points for the different people and then having one point be on one side of the camera and one point be on right. the other side of the camera. That was like a really good trick. And mm-hmm. my friend Ingrid told me this trick I've also mentioned on the pod, but whispering. It's just what it, the real tip is making choices.
Right.
But like the choice to whisper one of the lines, no one else will do that. And it'll immediately be interesting.
That's so funny.
You know, so if it's like, yeah, welcome to my potato shop. Yeah, we offer basically all sorts of different dishes and every single one of them is potato. It's like interesting. Great.
It's great. Cut to me.
No, I'm dead serious. Text me if you do it at an audition because I feel like it's a good one. Well, we're wrapping up here. And as we wrap, I do want to tell you, I'm so, 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 so excited for you guys. And I'm so happy that you got a snoo. That's the best thing to do when you have a little baby.
Yeah. I mean, it's been exciting. There's so much gear, but she's a good baby. I mean, like, I don't know if you felt like this, but like having a baby is like a little bit off brand, but it's also like my brand and my real self. Like, I love babies so much. But then if someone saw me outside the way that I like love her so much, I would feel so weird about it. It's like
what
someone,
do you mean?
Someone peeking in and just seeing all of the, it just feels so different from my work in a way.
Yeah. Well, I feel like blending those is going to be a really cool new chapter
right.
of your work. And of
it's not going to work. And
what'd you say? It's totally going to work. Well, look, the interesting thing that I'm like seeing in our chat is like, you were branded yourself as like alone forever person and
right.
then met Sam and then that changed.
Right.
And now here you are with this baby and you've got this. I mean, I don't know what it's like to have the experience of having like this really fucking disappointing, consistently disappointing and, you know, patchwork of there, but mostly not there parent who was abusive. That's fucking tough. And like you would need to be like, all right, wall is up for just like falling into sappy emotion because there's darkness in the
right.
world. But like that baby in your ergo baby is, you know,
right.
You know, it's exactly what you're saying. It's like this beam of positivity, this beam of love, of like endless, like,
right.
You know, indescribable, no words for the feeling. And like, it's there and it's not going to be a secret
because right.
It's right. It's you're taking it to podcast.
So no, I'm like so obsessed. My best work for sure.
Yeah, I right think there? We just weave it okay. right in. Weave the joy right in, you sweet, perfect baby that looks just like me.
Hi, Dina.
Hey, Mom. How's it going?
Oh, not too bad. Not too bad. Busy, busy.
What are you busy with?
I'm a busy bee.
Yeah, I'm a busy bee.
This week I've been a busy bee, yes.
Yeah, tell me everything.
We had people for supper. Then this morning, Samir was here for breakfast. Bilplin and Arvind are coming for supper, and in between, I'm going to visit Trudy quickly.
I was thinking about this morning in the bath, how like, because right now I'm making some stuff in the Instapot, some slow cooked pork.
Uh-huh.
Don't tell Dad.
Uh-huh.
And
okay.
I think like you, when you're able to make food, you end up being kind of like a hub, like a host. Like Shauna and I, we end up making food for people a lot. You guys, it's like, sounds like a bit of a restaurant over
here.
There.
I'm here.
And then do you, I think I like that. I like that, right? We like that for ourselves.
I like it too. I like it. Yeah, I like it. You know what you're cooking, and you know, I mean, you don't, you know, like if you take the money, you don't have to buy the most expensive cut of meat or whatever, you know. There's a lot of things you can make. It's not gonna cost you a lot of money.
What are you making tonight?
Tonight? Well, they're vegetarians, so I have green beans and potatoes cooked already from yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Dad's going to make that nopal, you know, that...
cactus. Yeah, tell the story about the cactus. It's so sweet. We were all in Sayulita for Christmas and our donors.
Yeah, we were in Mexico for Christmas, and Ricky's mom cooked this... dish for us, and we really liked it. We asked her what it was, and it's like a cactus leaf. It's from the prickly pear. If you've seen that fruit, it's called prickly pear.
It's like if you're in a Mexican grocery store, it's the thing that looks like a ping pong paddle, but without the paddle part.
Yeah, and it's got these spikes in it. You've got to be careful when you clean it. Over there, and actually we bought it then in Mexico because nobody knew okra, and we know we like okra for breakfast. So
okra is an Indian or Pakistani staple.
If I googled this, but the funny thing is we buy Mexican okra here, you know, and a lot of it is from Ecuador. It's all from these countries down there, and we buy okra.
Yeah, the first couple of days of you guys in Mexico is just walking up to Mexican people being like, where is the okra?
Yeah, and I didn't even know anything when you showed them the picture. But anyways, I googled this nopal, and they actually said it's similar to okra, you know, because it's a bit slimy too. And the health benefits, I mean, just Google it. It's amazing, the health benefits. It's really a superfood, you know. It has a lot of health benefits. Well, we try to have it about twice a week now.
Okay, you know? How do you cook it so my listeners can cook? Like,
well, Dad cooks it exactly, pretty much like...
You cut out the spiky parts of the cactus.
Cut them really small.
Cut them really small.
Yeah, got to take the spikes off.
Like a square centimeter?
I would say about a square centimeter. Not bigger than, about that, yeah. That's about the size of an okra, right? Because the leaf is quite flat.
Okay, so you cut up the cactus.
Then he cooks it, fry some onions and cumin seeds. And then add the cactus and some salt and hot pepper. And last time he also added a little bit of garlic to it. He tried adding tomato to it, but it gets too tart. It's a little bit tart by a little bit sour by itself. So tomato makes it even more tart. So he's not adding the tomato anymore. And then you have to cook it up maybe a little bit longer than okra. I'm not sure. Just a minute. Did you add water to it? No water.
Okay.
It's
like cactus
okra.
Bindi.
It becomes quite slimy. first it becomes quite slimy, and then as you cook it more and let it, you know, let the liquid get out, it's not so slimy anymore.
Okay, enjoy the health benefits of Pakistani style cactus.
Yeah. Well, then I've already cooked the dal. Dad's going to make the rice. He's going to make the cactus. And I just made that paneer with peas. You know, paneer is vegetarians like it. Yeah, it's like made out of milk. It's kind of a cheese, but it's very, very plain and very hard. Like it's, you buy it
hard
like,
if you don't soak it.
Like a piece of butter. Yeah, like it's, well, it's not as hard as a hard cheese. It's maybe like a mozzarella cheese, about that consistency, you know.
What's it called?
So you just cut it in.
It's called paneer.
Paneer. You cut it into small cubes and you fry it a little bit in oil, brown it and try to stir it so all sides get a bit brown. Then you take it out and you fry some onions and then you add the spices, pretty much all the spices, and tomato, ginger, garlic. I put from, you know, the ginger paste and garlic paste. They said fresh, but I was in a rush. So that's kind of a little bit better than the powder. Mm-hmm. And then turmeric, coriander, zira, like
cumin,
hot pepper and salt. Stir it all up. Add the peas and add the... No, first you add the tomatoes.
Mm-hmm.
I had some tomato sauce, so I used that. Didn't have like no
how much
in it,
tomato.
You don't want
how much tomato sauce?
Well, they wanted to have one big tomato cubed, you know, and put it in there. But you can use tomato paste. You can use tomatoes in a can, whatever you have, you know. And then you cook it a little bit more. Like I didn't have to cook it much because it was a tomato sauce. But you want the pieces of tomato. You want them kind of falling apart. And then you add the peas, the frozen peas, and the paneer and cook it for another 10 minutes and it's ready.
Nice. Yummy. On the count of three, mommy, can you say enjoy these recipes? 1, 2, 3. Enjoy
these recipes. Forever
Dog. This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcast.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram at Forever Dog Team and liking our page on Facebook.